Grandparents' Day to everyone. Many children now are being raised by grandparents, and many are being raised in families where grandparents are present. I just want to say happy Grandparents' Day to everyone. And it may be that you're a grandparent, may be that you have fond thoughts of your grandparents growing up, and they've done something very nice for you along the way that has stayed with you. It may be that some of you, like Brian Noonan, are thinking that some point soon they might become a grandparent. So we're going to be talking about that with the foremost expert. Dr. Lillian Carson is a psychotherapist in California. She's a nationally renowned authority on child development, parenting, and grandparenting. Dr. Carson is the author of The Essential Grandparent, which won the 1996 Parents' Choice Award. She's very prominent in the parenting and grandparenting community and was the grandparent moderator for the United Nations Global Meeting of Generations. And she has 10 grandchildren herself. Dr. Carson, welcome to the show.
Well, hello. Thank you.
And happy Grandparents' Day to you.
Well, thank you very much. It's always nice to be recognized.
Now, I'm going to ask something that might seem like a basic question, but what can grandparents add to a child's upbringing that a parent cannot? And again, we're talking generalities here.
Well, we're outside of the daily grind. And as a result, we have a different perspective. And we don't have to do the disciplining and worry about all the details of raising a child. So we can accept the child for who he or she is. And that acceptance is key to that child.
And that goes to self-esteem and a child's confidence in moving forward. Is that what you mean?
That's right. It's been proven that children need a loving adult to believe in them. And that makes a huge difference. It sometimes makes a difference in how children in difficult situations survive and thrive. And it's because somebody believed in them. And that's what grandparents can do.
Now, grandparents raise grandchildren very differently than they raise children in some aspects. And I was talking to our prior host about how I watched my mother raise my nephews. And with me, she was, you have to only eat this and you can't have a snack and you have to have this portion and this many vegetables. And with my nephews, she was like, do you want 5 or 6 scoops of ice cream? And do you want to go to Great America for the 5th time this week? I mean, you know, it's a whole different set of rules. And it was almost at first, Dr. Carson, I almost felt kind of like, oh my gosh, like, why are these kids getting treated so differently? Of course, I could never, you know, begrudge my cute nephews anything. But do you see that a lot?
Yes, I think we're much more relaxed. We don't have to worry about the details of how the children are going to turn out. And we can have a very different attitude. And are being relaxed, are not worrying so much. We have the advantage of hindsight. We have gathered experience and gathered wisdom as a result. And we can really have more fun and not worry so much about every little detail.
Now, you talk in your book about all different aspects of being a grandparent. And one of the things that I see a lot is I hear grandparents say, something is going on with my child. It's a secret that my grandchild told me about what's going on that I'm very concerned about. How do you deal with that as a grandparent? How would you give advice to a grandparent who, if the grandmother, for instance, heard her grandchild say something and then brought it up to the parents, maybe would lose that trust factor? At what point are those secrets sacred? And at what point does the grandparent have a responsibility to report, if you will, those concerns?
Well, unfortunately, grandparents are not in a position of strength in situations like that. We are not in charge. That's one of the things that we have to come to grips with. And we need to be able to try to support the children and the parents as well as we can. But sometimes there's not a lot we can do. I just got a call this afternoon from someone in a very difficult situation. Her little grandson told her how upsetting it was that the that his parents were fighting all the time and how upsetting it was to him. And there's not much she can do about it. She can speak up. But it's a reminder that we're just not in charge. And I think the hardest part of grandparenting.
And like in that particular situation, I could see if the grandparents confronted the parents and said, hey, you know what, like, listen, you guys are hurting your little boy. Like, can you just stop fighting for 5 minutes? I mean, that's the kind of conversation where the parents could say, all right, well, you know, stay out of my life and you're not going to see this kid. I mean, which happens, right?
But that it does happen. And in this case, the grandmother had written a letter, which she read to me, and it was all very nice. But I told her, I said, I don't think it's going to do a thing because the daughter's in an abusive relationship and the husband is not going to listen. So we can try to support the best we can. But I think if we keep our eyes on the children and what they need, and try to support them the best that we can. She's a long-distance grandparent, and she's going to talk to the child several times a week and send little things in the mail and let him know that he can talk to her. But we can't do a lot about the parents.
Right. And yeah, and I see this too when it comes to the parents may have certain wishes about you can't eat snacks or you can't watch TV or you have limited time on your devices. And what advice do you give to the grandparents? I assume you're going to say follow the parents' rules because that's what they're the parents. Would that be your advice? Or
in some ways, yes. But I have a little story about a little boy who was spending the night with his grandma, and then she said to him, "Well, it's time to go to bed." She said, "Your mother said that you should be in bed at 8 o'clock." And he looked at her, and he was pondering and thinking, and he said, "But aren't you her mother?" In other words, he was trying to figure out the line of command, and it's true. But we do have to kind of watch. I think we can cheat a little bit, but we have to be very careful.
I just feel like diplomacy is probably the most difficult thing to, you know, be able to say, all right, I see what they're doing, I see why they're doing it, but I'm going to take a deep breath, and instead of telling her, you know, telling my daughter what I really think of her rules about organic grapes, I'm going to just go out and get some organic grapes, or maybe just say they're organic.
That's right. Well, I think we, as I say, we can cheat a little bit, but we do have to be careful.
Yeah.
And sometimes there are situations where we do have to step up. I'm thinking of a time when a grandparent contacted me because the parents had a swimming pool that was not fenced, and she was very worried about her little grandchildren, and that's serious and life threatening, actually. And she had talked to them, and of course they didn't do anything about it. And there is a law in California that you have to be fenced. A pool has to be fenced. And so I recommended that she contact the authorities, and she did. And they were forced to fence. But that's a more extreme example.
Well, and it's probably good for the parents to do that, too, because God forbid if something were to happen not only to the grandchildren but to some other children in the area, they could be culpable for that and maybe even criminally culpable.
Oh, yes, you're absolutely right. And you wonder, why wouldn't they fence it? But they didn't.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that is a goal for grandparents is to develop a supporting and a supportive climate with their adult children, with the parents of their grandchildren, so that when we see things that we would do differently, and we always will see some things that we would do differently, they know that we care about them, that we support them, and that that hopefully lets them listen a little more and be a little more open to what we say.
And when you're supportive, then the ears, yeah, like you're saying, the ears are open, and it's not a confrontational situation where you hearken back to the conversations that you had as a child and a parent. It's now a different relationship, and it's a softer way of saying things, maybe.
Exactly, and it's pleasanter because you really do want to support them, and it's important that we do. I mean, being a parent is not an easy job. And they're anxious and they're overworked and they need support. And I think when they know that we're trying to support them to the best that we can, it helps. And then if we have some infractions on our part, or we want to talk to them about something that bothers us, they can be a little more open.
We're talking to Dr. Lillian Carson, who wrote The Essential Grandparent, winner of the 1996 Parents' Choice Award on Grandparents' Day. I'm going to offer, if anyone has any questions for Dr. Carson, 312-981-7200, or text to that same number. Any questions at all about being a grandparent, being a parent, and how to deal with grandparents? But you're listening to The Karen Conti Show. We'll be back in a moment.
Now, many, many years ago, when I was 23, I was married to a widow who was pretty as could be. This widow had a grown-up daughter, had hair of red. My father fell in love with her, and soon the two were wed. This made my dad my son-in-law and changed my very life. My daughter was my mother, 'cause she was my father's wife. To complicate the matter, even though it brought me joy, I soon became the father of a bouncing baby boy. My little baby then became the brother-in-law to Dad, and so became my uncle, though it made me very sad. For if he was my uncle, that also made him the brother of the widow's grown-up daughter, who of course was my stepmother.
I'm my own grandpa. I'm my own grandpa.
Happy Grandparents' Day. Willie Nelson, that's really truly one of his best. We're talking to Dr. Lillian Carson, who's a psychotherapist in California and a nationally renowned authority on child development, parenting, and grandparenting, and the author of The Essential Grandparent. Thank you for holding with me. The mixed, you know, I guess that funny little interlude there is kind of funny, but it's also interesting because in your book you talk about some little child who had like 10 grandparents and someone said, oh, you have to be mistaken. And she went right through and said, like, this is how many grandparents I have because of the step grandparents and the like.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And, well, families get very complicated.
Yeah, they do. I'm going to just talk about some issues that I see as a family law lawyer. I see the horrible situations where grandparents call me and they say, my daughter-in-law won't let me see the children. The grandparents' laws are just really difficult to win on those cases. But let's just say that there's a really good reason that the parents are not allowing the children to see the grandparents. For instance, the grandparents, you know, have drug problems or have serious health issues that make them unable, you know, to take care of the children. But even so, you would let them see the child and not care overnight for them. What would you say to parents who are withholding their children from grandparents? What would you say to them about the importance of allowing children to see their grandparents?
Well, when children aren't allowed to see grandparents, they're missing out. They're missing out on the unconditional love and acceptance that grandparents can give, besides all of the other interesting experiences that grandparents can offer. But sometimes grandparents are toxic. They're not.
Yeah.
They're not safe, and that's a tough call. And each situation, of course, is different. But it's. I think parents do have to protect the child from a toxic situation, or try to find a creative solution where you can maybe meet for a little while at a park or have the grandparent over if they're willing for a short time so that the child at least knows who this person is, because it is part of the family.
Now, in the book, you have a wonderful suggestion that I like, and that is when somebody becomes a grandparent, there's really no celebration. You see, when someone has a child, people have showers and people have celebrations and cards and gifts and all kinds of hoopla. But there should be, according to you, some semblance of a celebration when someone becomes a grandparent. And you suggest maybe even giving that person a card or perhaps a little gift. Tell us about your idea and why you think that's important.
Well, becoming a grandparent is moving you along in the generation. You are now becoming part of the older generation. It's a reminder to us, the grandparents, that we're getting older and that we're in a new phase of life. And that should be acknowledged. And there are lots of ways that can happen. Some people actually give a little shower or tea or something and bring little presents. But it's nice to recognize this passage. It's a big passage in life when a person becomes a grandparent. And then each time you get a grandchild, it kind of moves you along even farther. And that can be rather sobering to the grandparent.
There's still a little bit of a stigma, isn't there? Like, you are grandparents, so you're no longer a vibrant human being or something. You're in a rocking chair knitting a sweater. I mean, obviously, I'm exaggerating. But
yeah.
But there still is a little bit of a stigma when someone crosses that line.
Well, we're off our rockers.
That's a good thing.
We're younger grandparents because... and we're also older because we're living longer.
Right.
And some people do find that it's a stigma. They don't want to be called grandma or grandpa. And that's their problem. I know of a couple who refused to be called grandma or grandpa. They were called by their first names. But they were good grandparents, so it was a little... they just couldn't quite face the fact that they weren't ready to be called grandparents in that way.
I've got a question with kind of two prongs. You're a grandparent and you say, I really wish I could spend more time with my grandchildren, but I'm kind of like not getting that offer. And so I would like to hear your some suggestions on how to perhaps get the parents to give you more time with your children. And then I'm going to also talk about the issue where the parents are dumping the children on you all the time. And as much as you love those kids, you still have to go to work. You still have to go to your medical appointments. You still have to have a life yourself. And you feel like you're being taken advantage of. So I'd like to talk about those two prongs of being a grandparent.
Okay. Well, as far as the children being dumped on you, I said, we really have to know that we're entitled, we're entitled to say no. And again, if we've developed a kind of supportive relationship with our children, we can say it in a nice way, but say, I just can't do this. And perhaps offer what you can do, or say, I can't. You know, take the children today, but maybe over the weekend I could take them, or maybe another time and suggest it. I think we have to become creative, and we have to protect ourselves. There's no written law that we are built-in babysitters. It has to be something that we want to do, and we're entitled to that.
You talk about gift giving, and your book is actually great because not only does it have a section on what to read to be a better grandparent, it has a section on gifts and age-appropriate gifts that you can give your grandchildren. And, you know, your whole message here is it doesn't have to be a trip to Disneyland. It doesn't have to be a cruise for 10 days. It can be wonderful little things that are appropriate, age appropriate, and that encourage and develop that relationship. Can you give us some advice and some just examples of things that you think are inexpensive ways to share time and gifts with your grandchildren?
Yes, because gifts have power. And what the purpose is to let the child know that we are thinking of them, that we love them. And it's a way also to impart some of our own values. We can give books that we like or that we liked as a child and tell them about it. One grandmother was recognized by a tennis player who was winning awards. That was the grandmother who gave him his first tennis racket. We can let them know that we're thinking of them. And this is where I think one of the nicest parts of grandparenting comes in, because we can be very creative about what we give and what we think the child should need. We can also, support their interests. We can try to support their outside activities. If they like to swim, we can give them swimming lessons. We can try to help them along, try to make their lives more interesting, and support them in that way. And that takes thought and energy.
Sure, and not necessarily a whole lot of money. You gave some really good examples in your book of just little even crafts and things where you're
right.
Scrapbooking and you're making a bird's nest or a birdhouse or a model something. And it's really just taking something that they're interested in and taking it one step further by, buying them something inexpensive that says, hey, I know you like this stuff and I'm going to help you do it, hopefully.
So, that's right. Well, I just... Not long ago, my 30-year-old granddaughter told me how much she remembers the Valentine kit that I used to send her every Valentine's Day.
Oh.
It was a kit to, to make your own Valentines with doilies and things. And still at this age, she remembers it and how much she loved it.
That's wonderful. I'm going to have to go here, but I wanted to say thank you, Dr. Lillian Carson, the author of The Essential Grandparent. We're going to be giving away a copy of your book. And my favorite quote that I posted online today was, quote, "The reason grandparents and grandchildren get along so well is that they have a common enemy." Thank you for joining us, and take care. And please, everybody, get the book, The Essential Grandparent. Thank you so much.
Oh, it was a pleasure, Karen.
All right,
thank you.
Take care.